Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, What's the Bible Say About Trans?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Well, happy Transfiguration Sunday. Great Sunday for us to celebrate Jesus' transfiguration. And I thought we could take a look today for a few minutes at the word trans. Very popular word these days, isn't it? You hear trans all day long on the news. Let's take a look at how the world uses that word and how should we use it as Christians? Is it a good word or is it a bad word? Is it positive or is it negative? Is it something excellent that we should delight in or something to be avoided? So let's take a look at the word trans today and see what Jesus would teach us about that through His Holy Scriptures, the Bible, on this Transfiguration Sunday. So what can we say of trans? Well, trans is a word, or actually really it's a prefix. It's something that goes at the start of a word, T-R-A-N-S, and if you attach that to any word, it actually just means across. It can also mean to go beyond, to go through, or change, but it basically means across. Ah, I even hear the great sound of music in the distance there. Okay, so transportation, we use that word, right? Maybe answer the phone, whoever has a phone. Transportation. That's a word we use. It means across portation, and port means to carry, like portable, right? So if you want transportation, that's to be carried across. So a bus will transport you across a city, and a boat will transport you across the sea. If you look at another word like transatlantic, what's that mean? Obviously, across the Atlantic. So if you have a transatlantic telephone cable, that'll be one that goes across the Atlantic, a telephone cable. If you look at transcultural, that means that's something that goes across cultures, right? So a smile or a frown is going to be transcultural. It's going to cross the cultures. So the word trans just simply means across. And at that, it's just a neutral kind of word, right? But the way the world uses the word trans today, it's actually become a noun. It's short for usually transgender. You've heard that, right? What's transgender mean? It means across the genders, or to cross from one gender to another. It basically means if you're born a male, you want to identify as a female, or if you're born a female, you want to go across the genders and identify as a male. You know, I was looking that word up on my computer, which is a downloaded Webster's dictionary from the early 2000s. That word didn't even exist, at least on my Webster's. That's a new word that is all over the place these days in the world. Transgender, crossing from one sex to the other, one gender to the other, across. You also have the word transsexual these days, which basically is just an older form of transgender. But the world has gotten so crazy that you even have people, well, you've heard of that girl that wanted to cross over and identify as a cat. Remember that? Just give me a litter box in the school classroom. And there was a guy, Alex Stein, a comedian. He called into a school board and he was joking with them to try to show how silly this was. He says, "My daughter, she just identifies as a lizard. And I'm not asking for much. Just keep the room at a constant 72 degrees, please. Just keep it the same degrees. And just a little terrarium. That's all I'm asking. Just a little terrarium around her desk. And that's all I ask." Just shows how crazy it is. That's trans species, I guess you could say. You have the word transvestite. That's been around a while. That means a man wearing a woman's clothing or a woman wearing a man's clothing. Usually it's drag queen story hours type of thing. You have trans athletes. We've certainly heard a lot about that, where it's usually talked about a man who wants to identify as a woman or a boy who wants to identify as a girl and enter into girls' sports, which you know what happens there. At least depending on the sport, usually the women are dominated and unfortunately destroyed or hurt. A lot of them come away with bruises and don't want to play anymore. And then you have trans surgeries. Of course, that's trans healthcare, where you know people want to change and use a surgery and go from one gender to the other gender, sometimes even, at least in recent years, without apparent consent. So that is how the world uses this word trans, which means across, but they use it in all these kinds of ways. What does God say about the modern use of trans as we've just explained it? Well, for transgender, for example, well, just open up the Bible, we read, how many genders are there? Well, God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them, it says here, and he blessed them. So there's only two genders, there's male and there's female, and you don't go across these boundaries. If you're designed by God to be one, you don't then change to the other one or vice versa. That's called a sin, and in fact, it's even an abomination before the Lord, because look at transvestite, for example. If you turn to Deuteronomy 22, it says, God says, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. So to cross over genders, even just in clothing, God says that's an abomination. How much more with the other things that we're talking about, as in trans species or trans athletes or trans surgeries and such things? This is not a small issue, by the way, and I'm not meaning to just poke fun at anybody. I'm not doing that at all. This is serious business, because Paul says there is no crossing over. If you do that, you're in big trouble, because he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor homosexuals crossing over, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so the world uses trans in this way, but God says that's not right. There is no crossing over in these things, says the Lord. Okay, so that's how the world uses trans, and we've heard maybe way too much about that in the news in recent years. Amen? Are you done with that? But how should we, as Christians, use the word trans? Is it a good word, or is it a bad one? Is it one that's positive, with positive associations, or is it one that's negative, with negative associations? Is it something that's excellent, that we should yay, hooray for trans, or is it something we should avoid? Well, I think we got to be really careful here on this Transfiguration Sunday not to let this world be stolen and wrecked by the world. You know, we want to reclaim this word for Christ. The world is doing what it always does with God's good works, like rainbows and things like that. They're trying to taint it with a very negative association. Don't let them do that. Let's reclaim that word trans and absolutely love the word trans today in its positive light according to God. Because actually, if you look at it in the right positive way, we are the ultimate trans people of the earth. And we'll talk about that. Because it describes, namely trans, describes us down to a T and all the things, the great things that God's done for us. Very, very positive word. I want you to lay hold of that today. How so? Let's go through the transes of the Bible. Bill, I was telling him this sermon earlier this week, and he already guessed most of it, but we'll see. Okay, the first thing is we have a transfigured Lord, Jesus Christ. We read that, of course, in Mark chapter 9. Let's open up and look at that again. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his garment became glistening intensely white, so that as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And there appeared Elijah and Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's well that we're here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he didn't know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, This is my son, my chosen, listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. So we have a transfigured Lord. Say the word transfigured. What's that mean? Trans means a cross figure. Namely, his figure, his appearance, his form changed across from one to the other. What did it change from? He looked previously like an ordinary man of the earth. And then he changed to appear before the apostles as a shining man of glory from heaven. At one time, he looked to them like just a mortal flesh, like Peter, James, and John, and he had that. But then he changed on that mountain and showed them that he was the Prince of Peace from above, God's own Son. God actually confirmed that on the mountain. Remember, this was all about Jesus' true identity. Not being born one thing and identifying as something else, but being born one thing but identifying as his true identity, which he's always been, the Son of God. Remember, God actually, that cloud came upon the mountain? And God's voice confirmed this very thing. He says, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." In other words, this is the Savior of the world. This is the one to look to. This is the one who's going to save you from sin, death, the devil, and hell. This is the one who's going to give you eternal life, and he only in my kingdom. And so that's a great use of the word trans. We should rejoice. Oh, I love that Jesus is the transfigured Lord because he showed us his glory, who truly is, so that we can believe on him and be saved. That's a very positive light, wouldn't you say? Love and reclaim this word trans. It's your word. It's that of God and of the Christians. Next, though, let's take a look. Point two. How did Jesus save us? He saved us by a transaction. What is a transaction? That's an exchange of goods between two parties. What are the two parties here? Is it God and man? No. It's actually God and Jesus. They had their own transaction in order to set you and me free. And what were we set free from, by the way? Choose a trans word. Transgressions, right? You know what transgression means? I looked this up even this morning. Across, transgression comes from a word to step. So what's a transgression? It means you step across what? A boundary. You step across God's laws. The boundary for life, and you step across from life into death. You step from good to evil, from righteousness into sin, and from the kingdom into another kingdom, and into death and hell. It's a violation of a law is a transgression. What happens when you step across the boundary and transgress God's law is, according to the Bible, you get sold. We all got sold for a price. Namely, we got sold into our transgressions. We read in Isaiah 50. It says, "Thus says the Lord, where's your mother's bill of divorce with which I put her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your transgressions your mother was put away." So notice, when we sin, God sells us over into sin, death, the devil's hand, and ultimately hell. So we were sold for our transgressions, and the wages of sin is death. But then, what do we read in the Bible? It says, "Truly no man can ransom himself," Psalm 49, "or give to God the price of his life." Nobody can buy themselves out of slavery and imprisonment to these things, and we'd be damned if we couldn't get out. But God has sent Jesus to make a transaction for you, an action across, transaction across between two parties, God and Jesus Christ, to pay a price to buy you back out of where you were sold, back into freedom to belong to God again. Is that true? I mean, Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Say ransom. What's that mean? It's a price. A transaction occurs at the cross. Peter says, "You know, yet you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Paul says, you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So, we have a transfigured Lord who has come to earth to save us from our transgressions by a transaction, a price paid. And I'll tell you, that has actually happened. How do we know that? Well, because we have transcripts that transmit this to us through translations into English to tell us what has transpired in history. And what has transpired in history? A transaction has literally taken place. A payment has been made to set the world free. Jesus paid the price for our sins to buy us back and to make us to be owned now, rather, by God. Isn't this great? But I'm just getting started. Number three, what happened when there was a transaction between God and Jesus to save us was that there was a transfer. You know what that is? Trans is across, and fer comes from ferry, which means to carry. Like you get ferry to carry you across, you know, from one shore to the other. But there was a transfer, a carrying across of goods in that transaction. What was the transaction in the transference? Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquities of us all. So our sins were all then in that transaction transferred to somebody else. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. I will put your sins, transfer them onto this one who will die for them and pay you to buy you back. And then what does he do for us? He transfers from him all of his righteousness, which is perfect, to place it upon you in the gospel, faith receiving it. For by his knowledge, Isaiah 53, the righteous one, my servant, shall make many to be accounted as righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. He'll bear that which was transferred to him, your sins. You shall bear now that which has been transferred to you, his righteousness, as a free gift to save you, and you receive that by faith. That's why Paul says in Philippians 3, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as refuse, all my own righteousness by the law, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So, you have a transfigured Lord saving you from your transgressions by a transaction, and you have a transference. Your sins to him, his righteousness to you for your salvation. Am I done? Hardly. I'm just getting started. When you get saved, what happens is you get translocated into a new kingdom. Let's read that. That's over here in Colossians 1. This is so great. Love this word, okay? This is a positive word, trans. Because we read in Colossians 1, verse 13, it says, God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, and transferred us, or translocated us, to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So there's a crossing over from one location to another. You were in a kingdom of darkness, now in Jesus, my son, my chosen, listen to him. You've been translocated into the kingdom of light, which is God's kingdom, and you're an heirs of the kingdom to come. It's very positive. Also, when we get saved, what happens inside of us? You get a transfusion. Yes, you've heard of blood transfusions, right, doctors? But this is a transfusion of his heart and his spirit. God's heart, up there in heaven, transfused across and fused into you his own nature. A new heart I'll give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you, he says in Ezekiel. And then also Peter says, God's divine power has granted to us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he's granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape the corruption that's in the world because of passion, and become partakers of the divine nature. So God says, your old spirit of flesh and stony heart, I'm going to now fuse into you my own Holy Spirit and give you a new nature with your salvation. Isn't this great? I mean, come on. Don't let the world steal this great word from us. Reclaim it. It's awesome. We are a trans people, transfused with God's own nature, spirit, heart, and the Holy Spirit. Am I done? I'm still getting started. Your daily, what? Transformed into the image of Christ by that Spirit that's in you. You're daily changed. Okay, so Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so you may know what is the will of God, what's good and acceptable and perfect. For we all, beholding the glory of the Lord with unveiled face, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. So every day, the Holy Spirit is daily transforming you into the image of Jesus. You're getting changed. What's that look like? What did we read a few moments ago about Jesus? He went up on a high mountain and he got completely transfigured into from a man of earth into a man of heaven. What is God doing for you every day in Jesus Christ? He takes you up on the mountain with him, if you will. His Holy Spirit is now changing you from a man of earth into the shining man of heaven in the image, into the image of Jesus Christ. So a daily transformation. The ultimate goal of God, his ultimate aim, though, is what? To just give you a great life here? No, he's going to bring you through this transient world, through this transitory experience, and to transport you legally and joyfully now to a transcendental kingdom to come. I mean, look at that. They've got it all in there, right? Is this world actually really transient? What's transient mean? It means temporary, ephemeral, seasonal, here today, gone tomorrow. That's what the world is. You're just a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. My days are swifter than a runner, says Job. They flee away. And Moses says, we only live to 70 or 80, and our toil, the span of toil and trouble, our days are soon gone and we fly away. So this is a transient world. We're just transitioning through a transitory existence to be brought to a transcendental kingdom. What does the transcendental mean? It means supernatural glory that cannot be expressed by finite numbers or words. For this slight momentary affliction, says Paul, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, passing away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Think of what God has in store for you, O trans people of God. You're being trans across this world into a kingdom of glory that is beyond your wildest imaginations, that can't even be expressed by words. This is the aim of our great God for you in Jesus Christ. Okay, and one more. Not only that, but at that last day when he gives you the kingdom, you yourselves will personally then also, like Jesus, be transfigured, but not just in spirit, but in your bodies as well. For beloved, we're God's children now, says St. John. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus appears, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, you're going to look like Jesus, even in your bodies. Presently, you're sown perishable, but you're going to be raised imperishable. You're sown presently in dishonor, but you'll be raised in glory. You're sown in weakness, but you'll be raised in power. You're sown this physical body, mortal, of this life, and you'll be raised with a spiritual body fit for the transcendental kingdom to come. And all this only and always through the one Lord Jesus Christ, my chosen, this is my son, listen to him. So, in conclusion then today, don't let the world steal this word from us, okay? They're trying to wreck something that's very great. Let's reclaim the word trans today. It is so awesome. It is bright and shining glory for all of us as Christians in God. And we want all the world to celebrate that with us and come to Jesus. In conclusion, let's remember, we have a transfigured Lord who has shown us his glory. He saved us by from our transgressions, by a transaction in which he's also transferred our sins to him, his righteousness to you. Now he has translocated you into his kingdom. He has transfused his spirit into you, by which he's daily transforming you into the image of Jesus Christ, bringing you through a transient world to his transcendental kingdom of glory forever, and your own, one day, transfiguration into glory at his great return. So if you want to talk about trans people in the world, Christians are the ultimate trans people. Across trans this world into that great world to come. And all this and only through Jesus Christ, our transfigured Lord. And we know all this through the transcripts of the Bible. And so I think we can conclude by saying, I think this is really all quite clear, obvious, and transparent. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What's the Bible Say About Trans? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.